还有呢？
It's 9:30 a.m. and 4-year-old Kelly Jiang is saying goodbye to her parents as they drop her off at kindergarten in Shanghai.
Kelly, 再见啦，我们走啦。
Bye, Mom and Dad, she insists, waving them away happily. Bye, Kelly, they say as they leave. It's a common daily scene for families around the world, but this is different. Unlike other 4-year-olds, Kelly's parents won't pick her up this afternoon. Or tomorrow. In fact, Kelly's parents won't see or speak to her until Friday when they come to take her home for the weekend. Until then, along with her classmates, she'll eat, learn, play, and sleep at kindergarten. I'm Madeline Morris. I'm a journalist and a working mother. Like many other mums, I find the daily rush to get my daughter Scarlett to and from daycare while I hold down a full-time job exhausting and guilt-inducing. So, with my nearly 2-year-old in tow, I've set out to find out how other cultures do it, to see who's left holding the baby when mums go back to work. In the first part of this series for the BBC World Service, Scarlett and I looked at daycare in Australia, where we live. It's expensive, but very professional, and we discovered a strong emphasis on early education. We also travelled to Fiji, where children are still cared for by the extended family. Kids there are resilient and resourceful, despite the poverty and parents not really worrying about their development. In this second instalment, we're in Shanghai to learn more about a uniquely Chinese phenomenon, the boarding kindergarten. It's karate class for Kelly and her classmates, and they're all practicing their high kicks in the gymnasium. They've got a karate teacher in full kit, the white outfit with the brown belt on there. It's really different from, say, an Australian daycare. Children of this age wouldn't be doing this sort of organised exercise, but the kids here are absolutely loving it.
My Chinese name is Li Yuefei. My English name is Phyllis Lee. Right now, I'm the coordinator for Western and Chinese teacher. In our school, there are lots of those kind of special activity, and the kids, they will choose by themselves karate, football, reading books, taekwondo. The parents want them to learn those kind of activity better than just writing some words or doing some paperwork, those kind of things. This is more interesting for the kids.
This kindergarten is in Kangchau, an upper-middle-class neighbourhood in Shanghai. It's run by the well-respected China Welfare Institute, and it was actually China's first ever boarding kindergarten. It was set up over 60 years ago to care for war orphans, as well as the children of China's new Communist Party elite. But these days, it's a very different crowd who send their children here, and you can tell by the queues of Mercedes and Audis that are lining up in front of me here at drop-off time. It's now China's wealthy middle-class professionals who pay the $1,000 or so a month in school fees. Why do they do it? Well, some parents are simply too busy with work to look after their children, but others have a different reason.
Parents think the main advantage is that it helps to make their children more independent and have better life skills. In fact, we did some comparative studies. It is indeed true that the kids from boarding classes do have slightly better life skills than the kids from daycare classes and are more independent and better at socialising with others.
That's Xu Jing, the executive principal of the China Welfare Institute's Kangchau Kindergarten.
There's another reason parents send their toddlers to board at the kindergarten. Following traditional Chinese culture, many parents also have their own parents living with them. Because of the one-child policy, there's only one grandchild in the house. The couple sometimes worries that the grandparents will spoil the kids. So that's another reason that they send their kids here.
Basically, you're teaching kids to be part of society, but I guess the question is, when is an appropriate age for a child to be part of a good society? Some people would say that 3 or 4 is still too young and that they need to just be children and they can learn to be a good member of society a little bit older.
Actually, we always do a very in-depth interview with the parents who want to send their child to boarding class to find out why. Generally, we advise them if you have the time and ability to be with your kids, it's better to choose daycare classes. But some parents really don't have the time or energy to look after their kids. And for those parents, we are willing to provide this alternative option.
Okay, but there are parents who send the children here because they think it's good for them.
There are indeed some parents who themselves graduated from this kindergarten, and they are very successful now, and they hope that their children can repeat their track of growth.
Back in Kelly's class, it's playtime, and a little boy is showing me his cooking skills on the toy stove. The bright classroom has lots of specially decorated corners where the four-year-old boarders can play at being hairdressers, librarians, doctors, and mums and dads. My daughter Scarlett, who's nearly two, is with me, and I'm trying to get her involved. So's Kelly. Here's a toy for you to play with. It's a baby, Kelly says. But Scarlett's hanging back, which is very unlike her. In Fiji, she happily ran around playing with the little kids in the village. Perhaps it's the noise or the sheer number of children, but here she's holding fast to my leg and not letting go as our tour with Miss Lee continues.
So what would be a typical day for these children? So what sort of activities do they have?
Actually, this is a boarding class. So after their breakfast, they should go outside for a little bit outdoor playtime. And normally we have the PE lesson with the PE teacher, and we have the music lesson with the music teacher, and like those kind of role play.
These children aren't unhappy at all. This is a very happy, very creative, very fun environment. There's no rote learning here. They're playing and enjoying themselves. Kelly's got a little baby and she's putting her to bed.
Be the mom.
She's being the mom.
Yeah, being the mom. Yeah. That's my baby. She holds. That's my baby. And this is the father.
Mother. She's got a father as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. So this looks like one family. And
he's on the phone yeah, talking. Yeah, very important business.
Yeah, his business. Yeah, busy with his business. Yeah.
I found it hard not to feel sad watching Kelly play house and tenderly put her little doll to bed. For the past year, she's been put to bed on weeknights not by her parents, but by a teacher, ever since she was first sent to boarding kindergarten, aged three. Like Kelly's play husband, her own father is very busy with his business. Jamie Zhang is an investment consultant, one of China's new generation of wealthy entrepreneurs. His wife doesn't work. They're a friendly, smiley pair who clearly adore their daughter, and they kindly agreed to be interviewed for this program for the BBC World Service about what's becoming a touchy subject in China, why they sent their only child away to school so young.
We
actually had a family meeting to discuss it, and we visited many kindergartens to compare and choose. Eventually, after a lot of research, we found this kindergarten of the China Welfare Institute, which has both boarding and daycare classes. Through our research, we discovered that boarding classes benefit outgoing children. It helps to make them more independent and have better life skills. And our Kelly, she was a very cheerful baby and liked having her own space. So we took her for a trial to feel the school's atmosphere. We asked her if she was happy to go to boarding classes, and she said yes, she'd like to.
And what about you? Do you miss her?
At the beginning, we missed her so much. I remember the first day when we sent her off. We heard her crying. We saw she didn't want us to leave. But my wife and I have made an agreement. We just need to go without turning back. So we did. But the whole journey from the school back to home was so very long. We really missed her.
At night, the teacher sent a message.
But in the evening, we got a message from the teacher saying she was adapting well, and then we felt relieved. In some ways, we let her go earlier than others let their children go. But that means we cherish the relationship even more, from the very bottom of our heart. And we know that with the world becoming more global, so we let go of her earlier to help her become more independent and be able to survive in this society.
I'm a parent and I understand that children need to become independent. It's a global world and we need to let go of our children sometime. I think it's just very hard for parents of pretty much every other culture to understand how you could do it so young when they're still so vulnerable and they still seem to need their parents so much.
关于这件问题呢，我有两个好朋友。
On this issue, I have two good friends, and whenever they pass by this kindergarten, they always criticize me. They think that I'm a brutal dad for sending my kids abroad at such a young age. But it only took her 2 weeks to get used to kindergarten life, and she's brought back home much more joy to us than the kids in daycare classes. For example, she shows us how she puts on her clothes, her shoes. The kids at daycare classes, they can't do that. So it's a mixture of joy and pain. And we cannot say who's right or who's wrong, or what's good and what's bad. It really depends on the individual. I just simply think Kelly is more suitable for this boarding kindergarten.
But adapting is not easy. It's bedtime now for the little class, the three-year-olds, and about half of them are crying. The teachers are trying to give them cuddles and comfort them, but there are only two teachers to a class of 22 and there's just not enough arms to go around. It's really quite upsetting to watch. And Scarlett is clearly terrified. She's clinging to my leg, this look of fear on her face. She's obviously terrified I'm going to leave her. There's no way that I'm going to do that. I just want my mum, cries the little boy. Mum will pick you up tomorrow, his teacher replies. This is the harsh reality for China's boarding toddlers. There may be plenty of fun during the day, but from Monday to Friday, bedtime isn't cuddles from mum and dad. It's lights out in a dormitory with 20 other children. After a little more comforting from the teacher, most of the children are quiet and it's time for a bedtime story. Our chaperone for the evening, Huan Ying, explains what we've just seen.
The teachers are telling them that tomorrow is Friday and Daddy and Mummy will come to pick you up very soon, so you don't want to go home with swollen eyes. We say be reasonable, that you need to be really happy to meet your parents so they won't worry about you. And if you behave well here at kindergarten, your parents will be proud of you because you are growing up.
So there are quite a few kids who are upset tonight. Is that normal?
It is, because the children are different from each other. It's more difficult for some kids to adapt to this environment than others because they've been so well looked after at home since birth and it makes them feel insecure when they're separated from their parents. So the teachers make sure to give special care to these kids with lots of cuddles and emotional support. We're especially seeing lots of tears tonight because these children have just started boarding at the kindergarten a few weeks ago. In about 2 months, no kids will cry at bedtime.
So most of the parents live in Shanghai, mm-hmm. this class. Mm-hmm. Does it ever happen that you, if things are going really badly, that you'll call the parents and say you need to come and collect the child in the middle of the night?
We generally don't do that. In fact, it never happens. The child usually just cries for half an hour and the teacher just comforts them until they go to sleep. The children also have family photos, so if they're sad, they can look at the photo and talk to it, and it's just like the parents are there with them.
Both Scarlett and I left the kindergarten that night affected by what we'd seen. Scarlett was much more clingy than normal and refused to sleep in her cot, only falling asleep in my arms. And I was haunted by the memory of those little faces, their eyes quietly welling up with tears as bedtime came.
But if there's one thing I've learned from Scarlett as we've travelled around the world looking at childcare for this program, it's that kids are tough and supremely adaptable, much more so than we generally give them credit for. So does this unsettling bedtime scene cause problems for China's boarding toddlers later in life? Or do they adapt like their parents want them to, eventually becoming more independent and self-reliant? It's a question I put to Han Mei Ling, a psychologist who's treated a number of teenagers and adults who went to boarding kindergarten.
It does affect them. They feel abandoned. They feel their irrelevance. They struggle to find what their place in life is, and they also don't know how to behave in their own family.
The parents who we've spoken to who send their children to boarding kindergarten, they do it because they think it's going to foster a sense of independence and strength. Is that also a possible outcome? Does boarding kindergarten work in some cases for children in giving them that independence and strength?
I don't think so. The parents think that the kindergarten is a more professionalised environment and the kids can get better training, but that's not the case at all. In order to learn to be independent, kids need the support and care of their parents. It's not right to put them in a new environment separate from their parents, where they lose that emotional rock. It's a brutal way to gain independence. They're kids, not grown-ups.
But there must be positive cases. I mean, you see the negative cases, but there must be, maybe there are positive people who you just don't encounter because they don't need help.
If the kids' parents are very bad, it's possible that their environment in the kindergarten is better than at home, but children should stay with their parents. Kindergarten is the place for fun during the daytime where they can make friends, but we should never encourage the boarding system. Ever.
Boarding kindergartens are falling out of favour in China. Some are closing altogether, and others, like the one we visited in Shanghai, are swapping boarding classes to daycare. I wanted to speak to some young adults who'd been sent to board as toddlers, but it's not easy. Mostly, those we contacted said they'd had a negative experience, but didn't want to be interviewed because they didn't want to be openly critical. One person who would share her experience via email is Wang Danwei. She's now 23 and a professional fashion model.
I was sent to boarding kindergarten in Beijing when I was 3. Then I went straight on to boarding school. I went because my parents divorced, and both of them were so busy with work they had no time to look after me. At first, I just wanted to go home. I miss mom and dad so much. I just wanted to leave. But I think that in the end, I accepted it in a passive way. I think that's what adaptation means for young kids, passive acceptance. But I never liked boarding kindergarten. When I went on to boarding school, I felt a deep sense of exclusion and spent most of my time alone, keeping quiet and resisting getting to know new people. In my experience, boarding kindergarten teachers are often straight out of teacher training college and don't have the patience to deal with so many young kids, especially so many kids who need extra love and attention. I never thought my parents didn't love me, though. I knew they were busy at work. But a boy I went to kindergarten with didn't turn out so well. I heard he was thrown in prison for blackmailing his father. But I'm grateful for all my mom's sacrifices for me, so I'm still a sunshine girl.
We did also find one person who'd had a positive experience. Mo Yi is 17 years old and still studying. Like Wang Danwei, she was sent to boarding kindergarten aged 3, and she also shared her story via email.
My parents were very busy and hoped I could become more independent and receive a better education at my boarding kindergarten, which was a very good one. They tell me that when I first went and I saw all the toys, I started playing with other kids straight away. At the beginning, I missed home, but the food was very good and the environment lovely with lots of trees. At the kindergarten, I only saw my parents on weekends, so I valued my time with them very much. I also became scared of damaging our family relationship and I worried when they argued even a little bit. I think that now, compared to other people my age, I'm more independent and more responsible, and whether you see this as a positive or the negative, I also cherish my relationship with my parents more than my peers do. I think everything has two sides. You can't have it both ways. I'm in the middle.
Back at the kindergarten in Shanghai, the three-year-old boarders are having their final lesson for the week, English.
Okay, guys, we'll do the circle. Big, big, big. Small, small, small.
In just a few minutes, the kids' parents will come and pick them up and you can feel the excitement. This is also my last shot at trying to get Scarlett to interact with the kindergarten kids.
Do you want to come and sit down? Do you want to come and sit down with the kids, baby? Come on, let's come and sit down.
But still, no luck. Scarlett stays where she's been for most of the trip, wrapped around my leg. I took her on this journey for a couple of reasons. For one, I hate being away from her for a day, let alone a week. But I also wanted to see how she'd react to a different care environment. In Fiji, she loved playing with the village kids. But here, frankly, my experiment's been a disaster. She's overwhelmed and silent. As the children pack up for the week, I start chatting to Lee, the English teacher. She's been working in China for 10 years.
What do you think of the boarding kindergarten idea? Because you see it.
I think it's... I really do. I think it's awful. My daughter and I first started teaching out here 9 years ago, kids were having lessons at 9 o'clock at night. And I said, you can't do this to them. They're up at 7 in the morning and they're still having lessons. The boarding section of this school was much, much bigger then, and so it's changed a lot. And so they don't have as many boarders now. They come in on Monday, they go home Friday, and it breaks my heart. You come in here on a Monday morning and you've got the mama, baba, mama, baba. And they start from 3. Could you imagine putting her in?
No.
No.
The parents here tell us that they think it's really good for their kids, and the facilities are obviously excellent, and the teachers obviously really love the kids and try and give them as much love as possible. But
it's not the same as being at home. But a lot of parents here don't know how to look after their children, and so this is a really good option for them. And they do get a lot of care, and they do get a lot of love, and they do get a lot of attention. And it's not a job, and it's not a chore. It's a joy to be able to do it. A privilege, actually. But it's just not what we do as Westerners. And I doubt that a lot of it will change. There have been a lot of changes in education here in the last 10 years, but some things won't change.
All of a sudden, the door is opened and parents rush in, arms wide. They haven't seen their three-year-olds for 5 days.
The parents are all just arriving and the joy on the children's faces is incredible. And on the parents' faces as well, they're overjoyed to see their kids. It's making me a bit emotional actually, seeing them. There's obviously so much love, it's just a different way of doing things.
As we're standing by watching the reunions and I'm pulling myself together, a mother and her daughter approach Scarlett and I.
Hello!
Hello. Oh,
thank you, sweetheart.
This is my baby.
This is Scarlett. She's two.
Okay, Scarlett, nice to meet you.
My baby is Naomi.
My name is Jackie.
So it's a happy time of the week, Jackie.
Yes, yes.
Does Naomi like it at the kindergarten?
I think so, because she's quite independent. She's learned a lot of things, like playing with the groups and also playing with the teams. And this is something we cannot teach her at home.
Does she miss you?
I think so.
Do you miss her?
Not a lot, because I have made a decision, so I think it will be good for her to stay at school, and then we will have quality time together at the weekend.
You never worry that she thinks that you don't love her because you put her to school?
I think it's how you actually trying to build her internal reasoning why we're sending her for boarding, because we tell her only the best kids that can be welcome to stay at home or stay at school, and it's equally enjoyable experience at school when compared with at home. But you have different things, different experience. So it's how you actually give the reasoning for her.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Scarlett and I finished our journey just in time to make it home for a celebration.
Happy birthday to you.
We've travelled from Australia to Fiji and China in search of different ways to look after children when mothers go back to work. I don't think I've found any solutions to my daily guilt-inducing daycare rush. But I have learned that no matter whether parents send their children to live with a grandmother, as we saw in Fiji, or to a weekly boarding class, like in Shanghai, they're generally doing it out of love and a desire to give their children the best care they can afford. It's easy to judge Chinese parents for sending their children away, but really, how different is it from my own culture? In China, the youngest a child can board is 3, but in Australia, children can go to daycare when they're just 6 weeks old. And in Fiji, we met toddlers sent away to live with relatives for years on end. What Scarlett's shown me through our long and sometimes difficult travels is that she's tougher, braver, and more adaptable than I ever knew. And that makes me think that as long as I give her as much love as I can, it's okay to leave someone else holding my baby. Who's Left Holding the Baby was made by Wire Free Productions for the BBC World Service.